This reading from John the Revelator, it's from the second to the last chapter of the very last book of the Bible, sometimes called the Apocalypse. And in that place, John says that even there, God is doing new things. We all need to take this to heart. The way I read that, whatever stage of life you are in, God is trying to do new things with you. That whatever stage of life you are in, your days are sacred. And you need to breathe in the presence of God and what new things God is trying to do right there. I've been married 19 years. Yes, 19 and a half years. And when I look back and think about what was going on 10 years ago, it was all good, but it's different. And you need to be open to what is different to receive God dwelling with you. Because God is trying to do new things. We're the ones who are stuck. The spiritual response to this is to stay open. To be open-minded as an individual, and to be open-minded as the church, and to allow God to take us to new places. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the collective meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O God, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Let the good people say, amen. Kay, thank you again for reading this so beautifully and just like a true teacher that she is, just setting it so well. This reading from John's Revelation from the 21st chapter, it is the traditional watch night passage. Watch night is a worship service that is held on New Year's Eve, and it was started in 1740 by none other than Mr. John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church. Wesley started Watch Night to help people let go of whatever they needed to let go of and to move into this new year. People would give testimonies. There would be prayer and healing and song and song and song as they ushered in the new year. But even Watch Night changes. In 1861, it took on a very powerful meaning. In 1861, on that New Year's Eve, people gathered in churches because on January 1st of 1862, the Emancipation Proclamation was to go into effect. Things that people had only imagined possible for generations was now coming to be. And we need to know that people did not just gather because of Abraham Lincoln. God bless him, amen. People gathered because God was doing a new thing with them. And so they gathered to celebrate what in fact was happening. This traditional watch night scripture passage, it is what the Taoist might call the yin and the yang of God. In this one passage, we hear about the one side of God, the transcendent God, what John calls the God, the Omega, the Alpha, and the Omega. And on the other side, the immanent side of God, we hear about this is the God who has come to dwell with us, what Christians call Emmanuel, God with us. Now, every year, at some point, we're going to pick up the newspaper, and there's going to be a Gallup poll in the newspaper. And the Gallup poll is going to tell us that just about everybody believes in the transcendent God. Just about, even people who don't believe in God believe in this God. This God is out there. This transcendent God we know as the God of sunsets and new moons, the God of life and death, the God of Alpha and Omega. But in this season of the church, we take special note of the imminent side of God, of Emmanuel coming to be with us, the touchable God, the everyday God, the Monday morning alarm clock God, the morning that you wake up and say, what have I gotten myself into, God? The God in between Alpha and in between Omega. The Beta, Gamma, Delta, Epsilon, Zeta, Eta, Theta, Iota, Kappa, Lambda, Nu, Mu, Chi, Omicron, Pi, Psi, Copa, Rho, Sigma, Tau, Epsilon, Phi, Chi, Psi. That God. That is the God that we are with every day. Every day. This season is a reminder to make room for that God. Standing in the 10 items or less checkout line was me and another wise man. And he was very talkative. And he was trying to have a conversation with the cashier, and she was just like, just doing her thing. And finally he said, did you make any New Year's resolutions? And she said, without notice of him, same one every year. And he said, oh, must be a good one. She said, it served me well. Well, what is it? She said, to remind myself each day that I need God. You need God? Yes, I do. I spent the first half of my life being God, and it didn't work out so well. So I know I need God, and that's what I pray every morning. Me and the other guy were like the two sensations at the football game in unison. Mm-hmm. Everybody needs that God. Being self-reliant, which we are taught, can serve us well up to a point. Gaining self-confidence is essential. Helping your children and others succeed in life, rewarding. But without a daily appetite for our need for God, those good things get all messed up. They get distorted. And they get mixed up and they start sounding like too proud to ask for help. Too high and mighty to ask for help. Too low and too ashamed to ask for help. And for many of us, too controlling and too overcompensating. Trying to be all things to all people. Trying to be God. Without saying yes daily to this everyday God, life gets distorted. Bill Wilson is the founder of the AA movement and the spiritual 12 steps, which are very akin, I would say a first cousin, to John Wesley's spiritual piety, which doesn't sound nearly as attractive, piety. But nonetheless, there it is. Wilson says that what begins as the normal healthy drives in our life, emotional and physical security, social standing and recognition, these good things, he says even sex and gratification, when these aspects of our everyday life get distorted, they become the root of all of our problems, and they will take you down. The first thing that gets distorted in your life is trying to live each and every day without God. In AA, they call it the higher power. But in this season, we celebrate the lower power, the God who has come down here to be with you each and every day. Now, some of us are looking at 2014, and we are fired up and ready to go. Amen? I just spent almost a week at the grandparents. And this is what I do at the grandparents, my wife's family. I sleep at least 8 hours a day. And I eat three meals a day that are prepared for me. My mother-in-law gets up and says, you know, I think I'll make pancakes and bacon and eggs and homemade cinnamon rolls this morning. Then we have a lunch of leftovers from the night before. Then she says, I think I'll make a homemade cheesecake. Homemade cheesecake. She just makes it. Pow, there it is. Then I think I'll make this curry soup. It just happens all around me. These pants are killing me. They are killing me. But these last 2 days, I've been walking around the house. I've got such a bounce in my step. And I was like, what is going on? I'm rested. It's a powerful thing when you got those two running around. It's like, I'm a new man. Come, anything can come at me. Now, some of us are fired up and ready to go. But truth be told, some of us, no matter how we look at 2014, no matter how we slice it up, we know it's going to be one of those years. The yin or the yang of life. And such is life. The lesson of John the Revelator, the lesson of the watch night of Emmanuel, the lesson of the Rouse's cashier is don't go it alone. No matter who you are, you will distort your life and those around you. You have got to invite Emmanuel, who has come to dwell with you, into your life. Now, here's the good news. Our God is a humble God. And our God comes to us in many forms. Unlike the Magi, you do not have to traipse across a windblown desert and see that child. For this Emmanuel comes in less adorable forms. You could show up Tuesday morning at men's morning call to some not-so-adorable, sleepy-eyed men who gather in the name of Emmanuel to do what? To do new things, amen? You could show up at Disciple Bobby Study. This is for those hardcore types, people who need something to sound tough. 34 weeks. Yeah, that's me. Sign me up. 34 weeks of Disciple Bible Study. And when you get there, you realize this isn't hardcore. This is softcore. This is the Word becoming flesh, where people gather around the Word, and through each other, they hear the wisdom of the Word come to life. And they take that newness into their homes, into their places of work, and each morning when they get up with some Bible verse that they are saying over and over for the week. God even dips low enough to come to us in that obnoxious form of Dave Ramsey in his Financial Peace University. You come to that once a year, we'll have that here. And when you come to that, you get to gather with people in the name of Emmanuel to gather support and help as you try to do what? A new thing with your finances. Shema Day groups, young adult gatherings, Sunday schools, all of it is Emmanuel coming to you. And if you can do this, and I say this with all grace and mercy, if you can get here at 10 a.m. Sunday morning, you don't have to raise your children all by yourself. You get an hour to go study the Bible with another group or just sit in the lobby and allow this church to help you raise your children. And there are choirs everywhere to help you do that. Way back in 2013, I gave a message, and it was almost accidental. This is how you know the Spirit is working. And in that message, I talked about a day in my life that went by where I did not kiss my wife. Remember? And I said, I guess I won. And I don't want days like that anymore. And so I need to do something different. Do you know, after that message, I got text, I got emails, I even got those old-fashioned phone calls for people who had been living alone with similar feelings, saying, I don't need to be alone now. Well, if you want to sit with me for 3 or 4 weeks on a Wednesday night and to figure out how you can do new things in your life, let me know, and I'm going to make that happen for you. Whatever wisdom we can have and the 5 books that I've read since that sermon will bring into that place. And I want to just offer you this, too. This is one of the many things on my mind over break. As we all know, Gwen Anderson, our beloved Gwen Anderson, a member of this church, she passed away. And we're going to celebrate her life on Monday, tomorrow at 10 a.m. The last time I saw Gwen was on Christmas Day. And I want you to know, First Grace, I was there, and when I was about to leave, her son and her 2 grown daughters came in right after that. And then when they left, Broad and Celeste Bagger showed up. And every day, Margaret Washington was there. And many of you went to see her. She was loved, and she knows that she was well-loved and cared for by this church, and I am grateful. But I saw, while I was visiting with her, something we have all seen in these moments. There is a woman in a sacred time of life, and it is sacred. And the nurse, doing her job on those last days, is trying to get her to take her cholesterol pill. Now, we're all just stuck in it, aren't we? And we all know it, but there are things for the church to do. There are things for us to help this world figure out. And one of the things we need to figure out is how to die better. How to die in that sacred time better. And now I'm reading about that. If that's something that you want to help the church, help people figure out how to die better, I would like you to let me know, and let's do that together. If you are fired up and ready to go, good for you. But don't go alone. If it's going to be one of those years, you are not alone, so don't make yourself be alone. Hang in and keep your head up. If you need a verse, I suggest the first verse of Psalm 46. The Lord is my strength and my refuge, a very present help in time of trouble. Put that on your bathroom mirror. And in 2014, commit yourself to being in places where Emmanuel can help you do new things. Every day is sacred for us as a church and for you as a follower of Christ. Believe that. Know that God is on your side, and so am I. Let the people say amen.
Amen.
Give yourself some praise.